thank you, and apologies, and thank you all for leaving, and thank you all for coming back. So we will resume, and we'll take up the Finance and Administration Committee. Director Bain.
Okay, calling the meeting to order. Do you want a roll call for this meeting?
Director Bain.
Here.
Chair Bain.
Here.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Prado.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
Chair, we have a call.
Thank you. Next item on the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the meeting held on April 29th.
Don't move.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on to information technology.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Information Technologies has six items for your consideration this month to be placement on the consent agenda. Item number one is a resolution requesting approval for an amendment to an existing tower co-location agreement held by Business Only Broadband. This resolution will amend their existing co-location agreement at Maintenance Site 8 located in Naperville for the purpose of installation of added wireless broadband antennas and equipment. This agreement was originally approved by the Tollway Board in January of 2007. A first amendment was approved in June of 2008 and again in June of 2009. This final amendment will increase the monthly lease rate from $2,190 by an additional $632 for a revised monthly rate of $2,822. We request your approval.
Are number one and two the same thing, basically?
Yes,
different,
sir.
Locations?
Yes.
Why don't you take the
okay.
First five are all co-location agreements,
sir? Yes. Item number two is a resolution requesting approval for amendment for an existing tower co-location held by Business Only Broadband. This one is located at Plaza 93, located in Lamont, again for the purpose of the installation of additional wireless broadband antennas and equipment. This original agreement for this location was approved in May of 2008 and amended in November of 2009. Amendment increases the monthly rate from $2,744 by an additional $632 for a revised monthly rate of $3,376 per month. Item number three is a resolution requesting approval for amendment to an existing tower co-location agreement held by Verizon Wireless. This amendment is unique that it will provide a fiber optic link between Verizon's already present and operational equipment and AT&T Wireless's equipment located within the same site. The purpose of this connection is for Verizon to obtain additional bandwidth for their wireless facilities, for which they have independently negotiated with AT&T. A one-time permission fee of $1,000 will be charged for this. This is consistent with similar fiber optic permit fees charged by the Tollways Engineering Utility Division. Item number four is a resolution requesting an approval of a new tower co-location agreement with Clearwire Sprint on the tower located at Maintenance Site 8 in Naperville. This is a standard lease agreement providing for a maximum of 12 antennas totaling less than 83 square feet. Clearwire provides wireless broadband and voice services throughout the Northern Illinois market. The monthly rate for this agreement would be $2,749 per month. Item number five, which we wish to defer at this time pending further review.
I'll make a motion to approve items 1 through 4.
Second.
There's a motion and a second.
I have one question for Ed, if I might. Are these reasonable? Do we have a fee sheet or fee? I mean, this
yes,
seems
we,
like
we,
fair numbers, but I just want to make sure.
We have a price matter. Sheet. We have a standard rate established for the services provided. So, for example, on the wireless broadband providers, it's $632. They have a very small footprint. If they're putting up communication antennas for cell phones or cellular devices, that has a different rate. And the two rate structures are rural and suburban. We have, depending on the location, so we have an established rate structure.
And I've asked that moving forward, we benchmark against what other similarly positioned in other states' authorities are charging. And initially, it also seems like we're in very good shape in that regard,
right.
But we're going to continue.
We want to be competitive, but at the same time, now, obviously, we want to eliminate, if we can, zillions of towers throughout the United States and do our little part. Are these the kind of things where people can share a tower? Or?
Yes, we're sharing our towers where, for example, IDOT or Illinois State Police does not, although that may change in the future. But we are reutilizing existing resources. We reserve 15% of capacity for our use overall. So
So we're renting space on our towers, so it's less tower clutter.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Towers are right up. Towers are
right
there.
Right.
There was a motion. It was seconded. We had discussion. All
in
favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. And the fifth item.
Okay, sixth item. The sixth item is a resolution seeking the approval of a 3-year contract to Unisys Corporation for the hosting of the Tollway's web, e-commerce, and interactive voice response applications. Unisys was originally awarded the web hosting, e-commerce, and IVR services contract by the Tollway Board after a competitively bid RFP. Unisys was the lowest bidder after a best and final offer process. Unisys continues to provide these services today. After much work and justification, the State of Illinois Department of Central Management Services and the Office of Management and Budget have approved the sole source economically feasible procurement approach for this contract. This procurement is both time sensitive and critical to the mission of the Illinois Tollway. The web, e-commerce, and IVR systems provide service to our IPAS patrons, along with numerous other site visitors making unpaid toll and violation payments, or seeking general and specific information about the tollway. Currently, 72% of IPAS account holders manages their account online. This system offers considerable cost savings and customer satisfaction. It is estimated that the tollway's website has saved over $28 million in cost by automating services that otherwise would have been directed at the consolidated call center. Unisys has committed to a 22% DBE participation throughout the 3-year term of this contract. Funding is available in capital account 509908 in the amount of $1,671,348.28. Funding for the M&O portion is available in account 4842-001 in the amount of $4,216,358.34, for a total of $5,887,706.62.
So obviously we're satisfied with.
They've been a good and responsive partner, and we're very satisfied with their service.
Should we mention that the RFP process did not get worse?
Yes. To reiterate what I had mentioned at the previous board meeting is that we will begin the RFP process for a new system or a new vendor. After the award of this, we will, within 6 months, begin the RFP process. This is a 3-year contract. We expect to begin the process and award and transition to a new vendor, you know, dependent on the outcome of the RFP, within the 3 years of this contract.
So it could be shorter than 3 years.
It could be shorter than 3 years.
And it could be Unisys again.
They are certainly welcome to bid again.
I'll make the motion.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out, do you say approximately $4 million of this is capital portion from 2010 dollars?
No, it's $4 million is M&O.
Oh, $4 million is M&O, and that's allocated for over 3 years.
Over 3 years.
Okay.
It says capital. It says capital $4 million, M&O $1 million.
Which didn't make sense to me.
I'm sorry, that's an error on my part, but it is actually $4 million in M&O.
Is the reverse of those numbers?
$4 million over 3 years is M&O.
Yes.
And the $1 million over 3 years is for capital.
That is correct.
And in this context, what is capital? It's not
capital. The capital is for the purchase of equipment,
okay,
and
equipment.
New software licensing. Yeah, the numbers are reversed in here.
The one concern I have, this is a humongous contract, and even though we have CMS saying we're okay, how do we know, A, this is a good deal, and why didn't we start the bidding process like a year ago? I mean, those are just two open questions I'd like.
Well, I can't speak for what my predecessor had planned at that time. We had started the process early in 2009, and we have to go through CMS regardless of what vehicle we plan to use. We had started some dialogue with CMS about the RFP and continued dialogue with them. It was discussed that it was in our best interest to continue this until we have a better long-term strategy. We have equipment now and software that, after a certain point, approaches a life cycle, and it would be best at that time to move to a new or a different platform. And that's the strategy right now for selecting this.
As you know, I'm a fan of our website, but I just want to be careful that we don't hand out a $5 million contract because we'd like somebody from...
No, it's we have been... my team has been diligent in making sure that we get the best possible return. We have negotiated the services that we will be receiving is at a better rate than we are receiving today. We looked at all the factors. Some things go down, but we also, our demands on the website are increasing, so we have to add more. So there's some give and take. We gain in some areas and we lose in some areas because we have more plans coming forward. For example, gift redemption online, violation images online is factored into this.
Now,
Director
so
Morris, would you like your work group to have an interface with the...
No, just as long as we get reports on a periodic basis, either to the Finance Committee or one of the committees on this bidding process. Like, we've got another one coming up next on the agenda that's similar to this, and obviously it is a concern, at least as a newer member, that these are big-ticket items that we're voting on. I think we should compliment Ed for doing a good job, but I really am upset about the 62 cents. I think if you could have worked it down that extra 62 cents, I'd be a lot...
I'll keep that in consideration the next time, Director.
I think I'm making a slightly different point, which is when you said you're satisfied, with the website. I mean, this is, in some respects, a consumer services issue. So when we're thinking about designing the RFP, it would be...
Oh, good. I have no problem with that, but I think I guess we're kind of stuck having to go forward with this right now.
Right, but
I don't want to send this to a committee and end up having a...
I'm picking up on your point, whether we could, in developing the new RFP and thinking about what we want to look like, make sure we have the input of the consumer...
No, I think that'd be
consumer
good.
Yes, we have to look at what our requirements may be down the road. We have to plan for the future of the tollway. Yes.
And we want it from the consumer perspective.
Yes.
So I think to have your group look at that, we might even think, I don't know if we ever have done this, have public hearings where we could actually ask consumers to tell us what they think about how the website works.
Yeah, we've actually started at our last committee meeting. I think it was Commissioner Member Saldana had asked that we get feedback not just on, I think it was phone calls, or we wanted more information on how we're doing out there, and so we've already started that process.
I would just say that, you know, given that it's sanctioned by CMS and the fact that sometimes it's wise not to change horses in midstream, that I'm satisfied with this, but I'm is most important, I think, is that you are committed to moving forward with the competitive process for the next round.
Right, and I agree, and I think it's, in light of this session, I'd make the motion to approve this as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion?
Thank you, Ms. Ava.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further items.
Thank you. Moving on to procurement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Directors. Procurement has only two items for your consideration this morning. The first item is a tollway contract to purchase elevator maintenance, inspection, repair, and full hydraulic pressure testing. This contract provides a source for elevator maintenance, monthly inspections, small repairs, and full hydraulic pressure testing of 20 passenger and freight elevators system-wide, which is required by state law. The tollway publicly advertised the proposed contract and received 5 bids, and while it did not limit this opportunity to state-certified small businesses, nevertheless, the state-certified small business Parkway Elevators is recommended for award, having submitted the lowest responsive and responsible bid in an amount not to exceed $98,560 for a two-year term. In addition, the Chief of Operations, Jeff Reddy, requested a business enterprise program goal of 10%, and the recommended vendor has committed to attaining a 10% BEP participation through a subcontract with Apex Elevator, a certified DBE. The second and last item is a tollway contract to purchase new core steel high-tension pre-strand cables. This contract provides a source for cable restraining systems and parts for maintenance of the installed existing crash protection systems. Cable restraining systems are used to provide crash protection and designed to minimize injury and or death during car accidents. These systems are a National Cooperative Highway Research Program, NCHRP, 350 certified by the federal government and are approved and recommended for the use in roadway medians and on roadway shoulders. The tollway publicly advertised this proposed contract, and while it did not limit this opportunity to state-certified small businesses, nevertheless, again, the state-certified small business, John Thomas Incorporated, is recommended for award, having submitted the lowest responsive and responsible bid in an amount not to exceed $111,000 for a one-year term.
So moved. Can we do both in one motion?
Sure. Let me ask us any questions or comments on either of the two items.
On this last one, you have a budget of $6.8 million for this type of stuff. This one is $111,000. Is there going to be more of these? Or?
This is supposed to be for the maintenance. So.
This is for the maintenance.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have been spending approximately $53,000 in 2009, or about $4,418 a month. And this year, we've spent already $11,149.
Okay.
And this is the larger account.
This is the large account that it comes from. Okay, I got you. I don't understand.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for procurement?
It is.
We're moving on to business systems.
Good morning. I'd like to make a short presentation regarding the Trump contract, if you don't mind.
This is not Donald Trump, by the way.
Good morning. As part of the 2004 congestion relief program, the tollway redesigned mainline plazas in order to build open road tolling lanes, which would provide environmental benefits and faster commutes for the motoring public. The Illinois Tollway was the first in the nation to complete a system-wide conversion of barrier-style toll plazas to non-stop electronic operations with open road tolling in less than 2 years. The ability to provide a capacity level of 2,000 vehicles per hour in an open road tolling lane has decreased travel times and has helped in the reduction of vehicle emissions. Back office software systems also opened opportunities for other areas of operations, as the ability to reconsider the customer services of iPass and violation processing, which led to a consolidated call center that provides a one-stop shop for our patrons. In order to deploy and maintain the electronic tolling aspects of the congestion relief program, an RFP for the toll revenue management and maintenance program, as is referred to as TRUMP, was posted in January 2005. In March 2005, Electronic Transaction Consultants Corporation, ETCC, was awarded the contract. The contract was for an initial term of 5 years with 5 one-year renewal options. ETCC was given notice to proceed on June 29, 2005. The original base value of the contract was $69.5 million. $43 million was allocated for capital items, which included the design, purchase, and installation of new electronic toll collection equipment and systems. $26.5 million of the contract included provisions for the maintenance and support of all electronic toll collection systems and equipment on a 24/7, 365 days per year basis. In May 2009, a change order totaling $12.3 million was approved by the Board of Directors. $2.8 million was for additional lane equipment and installation services and back office system enhancements that were not contemplated in the original plan. $8.3 million provided continued operational support and maintenance of lanes and back office systems, and $1.2 was for third-party software license and support. This brought the total contract value up to $81.8 million. Trump contract covered several major project components, which included construction of roadway lanes, the installation of electronic toll collection equipment, and software systems, which could either be custom or proprietary, in over 500 lanes. Some of the hardware items installed include over 2,500 automatic vehicle classification loops, 350 front and 640 rear cameras that are part of the vehicle enforcement system, and 548 antennas, which are a component of the automatic vehicle identification system. Software installation includes the lane zone controller, which is in essence the brain of the electronic tolling system. The lane zone controller integrates multiple third-party systems in the lane and builds a valid toll or non-payment transaction. There are 450 of these devices throughout the systems. Another software component is the host system, which is the repository of all toll collection data. Manual and automatic coin machine transactions stop at the host, while electronic toll collection transactions are tracked and then sent to be processed on the customer service system. And non-payment transactions are tracked and then sent to be administered on the violation processing system. Host data is an integral part of toll audits, financial reconciliation, and reporting. Software maintenance is the task of investigating and fixing software bugs and system malfunctions, as well as applying updates and patches to the software systems. These activities are carried out for all of the software developed from the field-based lane zone controller to the back-end modules of host, CSC, and VPS. This also includes all third-party software. The TRUM contract hardware maintenance applies to the tolling equipment on the roadways and in the lanes. Lane hardware maintenance is the portion of the contract that keeps all the physical equipment in the lanes in service and operating at the most efficient levels. The maintenance includes both reactive brake fix activities as well as proactive preventative maintenance program. Enhancements are functional software additions to the systems that were not included in the original software package. The back office system is composed of three interactive software systems that also interact with other related components. For example, the customer service center system module is a main user interface for the back office system. Tollway employees, as well as the customer service agents at the call center, utilize the customer service system to access patrons' accounts and update the system. Also, information from the system is utilized for patron account information accessed on the web. Reciprocity is a component that interacts with customer service center system. When a customer uses their iPass transponder on a tollway that is a member of the EasyPass interagency group, that transaction is sent from the reciprocity system to the customer service center system to update their account. The customer service center provides service for 2.6 million patrons with 3.9 million transponders, and it accounted for over 79% of 2009's annual toll revenue. There were many milestones that were accomplished over the contracted period. For example, in conjunction with the engineering department and working closely together, the first open road tolling plaza was operational in November 2005. And continuing in this manner, 11 months later, the final open road tolling zone on the existing mainline plaza system was completed for a total of 34 open road tolling zones. In April 2007, the back office customer centers went live, and in August of the same year, the violation processing system began operations. As you can see, there was a high level of activity in the implementation of this project. The system has been functioning and been in operations for a number of years. We are at the point where we have a minimum amount of items to be addressed before final acceptance of the system will occur. We are working diligently with the vendor on the last of these closeout items. We have gained a great amount of knowledge regarding the operations and maintenance of the open road tolling system in the past 5 years. So as to utilize the lessons learned and the knowledge gained, Business Systems is requesting to exercise a one-year extension of the current contract so that an RFP can be issued to explore the marketplace for new ideas, progressive approaches, and quality services. The one-year extension would be in the amount of $11 million and have a minority participation goal of 10%. The contract extension costs can be divided up into three major areas. Project management, which includes key personnel assigned solely to the TRUM contract. This includes the project manager, assistant project manager, the maintenance manager, and business system analysts. Maintenance, which is a dual cost structure, We have fixed maintenance for both lane and software that is provided Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. Time and material maintenance for both software maintenance and operational support, along with lane maintenance, is provided between the hours of 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Monday through Friday, and any work that is done on the weekends or on holidays is at time and material. Third-party maintenance, license, and backup storage, we're looking for, to allocate approximately $1 million. Lane and equipment spare parts is $100,000, and the requirement for a SAS 70 audit is $150,000. As mentioned before, we are in an RFP process. This shows the timeline that we are following regarding the issuance of the RFP. This is an aggressive plan that we are following regarding the issue and completion of the initiatives. The items appearing in bold or in larger font are both actions and deliverable dates that are outside of the tollway's control. We are currently maintaining our targeted goals. Any questions?
Chair, if I might report, our subcommittee did spend a considerable amount of time on this and did recommend that this be referred to the Finance Committee for the renewal, with the clear understanding that we would begin the bidding process to replace the contractor. If you look at the schedule up there, we actually took the liberty of asking Stan and his staff to begin that process in April, even without committee or board approval, so that we could pick up that month or two in between. The original price was approximately $13 million a year, so the $11 million is actually better than what the original five-year contract was. I think the committee agrees, we're not thrilled about the 10% WBMBD and would like to have Stan and Christie's staff do some jawboning to see if that could be improved over the next couple of months. And we're a little upset at the $102,000 overrun in terms of what is budgeted, which we would have to seek money from other funds. So if we approve this, if we could direct the executive director and her staff to sit down with this firm and negotiate and hopefully shave at a minimum that $102,000 off the contract, if not more, because I'm not comfortable going outside of our budget for this in a year where everybody has some tight constraints. So the motion would be, from what came out of our committee, to approve it up to $11 million and direct the staff to negotiate that one-year extension, with the understanding that if the bidding process moved quicker, we could terminate it sooner than the 1 year. The reality is it might be actually about 15 months or 16 months, and we might be back next year at this time extending another 2 or 3
months.
So
this is a stopgap.
Right. This is to get us to the new process. And again, like I said earlier, unfortunately, this should have started probably 8 or 10 months ago, and I think got lost in the transition. And so we're kind of getting back on course on it. But and I think that everybody understands that even though when they first told our committee this was this long process, it was going to take like over a year, we couldn't quite understand that. But as I've learned more and more about CMS, that alone is about an extra 4 months. So that is a reasonable, and I've called some people that are in the business, and they said that it takes 12 to 14 months. So it might be that we'd be back next year for a two-month extension. But the magic word in the motion would be not to exceed $11 million, and at a minimum, we'd like to see that shaved a bit. And so if that, so I can make a motion if there's further discussion. I don't want
Well, anything else for Stan?
Director, just to clarify, my goal is not to exceed $11 million, and I will, you know,
I like
work.
To be under.
I will make it. I will work to make it under.
Who would all like to be under?
Yeah. I'll make the motion that we approve this.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Dan, you've been threatened. It must come.
He's been through this for the past 2 months.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me, Chairman Banks and directors. I need to clarify something on item 6. Nancy, could you go back to item 6 very quickly? Item 6 as it stands on the display, and the costs are correct. My notes are mistaken. My notes are transposed. The M&O costs, as it stands, are $1,000,008, and the capital is $4,000,000. So the numbers there are correct.
What is capital? $4 million?
It's software licensing, it's hardware upgrades, and additional efforts into that across the 3 years.
Also, most of it is capital.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Does that change anybody's mind?
No, okay. I just want them. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't be so quick
here. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just one question on the pump. It was a serious problem for the tollway for a while. You're comfortable that we're past all of this?
Yes. We're working and we're making very good progress on it. The problems are in the past.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Well, our committee, just so you're aware, went through a long presentation on this, and that was where Maria asked some questions on complaints. They apparently, according to Mike, just about caught up on that 13-month, you know, back process. And the complaint numbers seem to be down in terms of just consumer complaints. We're going to monitor that on a regular basis, because whether it's the same firm or a new firm in the future, one of our goals is to be as complaint-free as humanly possible. But it appears from the data we've gotten that it has improved over the past 6 to 8 months and seems to be getting better each month.
That's great. So the combination of Dan being here and then having this work group that actually he can work with the monitor. Okay.
And I just would like to make a comment. I think I don't want to characterize it as a problem. This system is one of the biggest systems that went from, you know, a barrier-based to open road tolling, getting somebody on board to come in and put all this together, and maybe 5 years, maybe the contract initially should have been 6 years, just to, you have to get the, it's almost like getting the kinks out of a major system that you put in place. So, I mean, all things considered, I think the system is doing well, and I think that we've learned a lot from the experience, and I think going forward, we want to be complaint-free as much as possible and be a model for this type of system. But I think initially going from what we were to the open road tolling and people coming out and getting the iPads is pretty amazing.
And then actually from a time perspective, Sam had some numbers, but just from my own experience, starting at the far end, just to go south of here, Springfield or downstate, it's at least a 14 to 16 minute savings, and that's probably when it's congested, it could be even better. So it is beyond the cash collection end of it, where 80-some% going with bypass. It's an amazing convenience from a speed perspective without having to drive 75 miles an hour. So I think that's a real positive that's come out of this for the consumer. And the construction's now over with, so people can get a pretty good feel of how the system really works in some of the lanes.
Just one other item that it's really kind of amazing. Last year, the system handled over 775 million transactions. I mean, that number in itself is really something to consider.
What was that number again?
775 million transactions.
Most transactions of any system.
In the country. But that might be 4 transactions on one trip.
Not could be
that many consumers, it's that many trips, but tens of trips. But it is pretty phenomenal.
Okay, thank you. Stan, do you have anything else?
No, that's all I have right now.
My agenda shows another presentation.
We thought that there are actually 2 additional presentations, and just to keep things moving, we thought we'd move those to just my executive update.
Sure. Then moving on to legal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Legal has 4 items, but before I get to those items, I'd like to update the board on Senate Bill 51, which is a bill revamping the state procurement code that Albert outlined for you last month. Senate Bill 3576 passed the General Assembly this month and is awaiting the governor's signature, and it makes 2 changes of note to Senate Bill 51.
First, it extends the date of for implementation of the procurement reporting requirements from July to January of next year. And this will give the Executive Ethics Commission, CMS, the Procurement Policy Board, and state agencies time to establish rules and reporting requirements. So that was that six-month extension is an important change.
Tom, will you just remind people, give an example of what that requirement we thought was going to cause to happen?
The requirement is reporting of procurement-related communications. So if a vendor contacts, let's say, Albert to discuss an upcoming or pending procurement, then there's statutory reporting requirements, name, date, subject matter, et cetera. And this is a procurement reporting requirement that extends, you know, not just to the procurement director, but to staff throughout agencies.
And board members.
So it's a significant reporting requirement. So the bill will give additional time for, again, establishment of rules and establishment of just the mechanics of a reporting structure, which will be very helpful. The second issue that Senate Bill 51 raised from a practical perspective was this issue of communications back and forth between state agencies and vendors. I mean, there were concerns is, what if someone calls me up with a good idea, can I talk to them? And the Senate Bill 3576 clarifies the intent of Senate Bill 51 by allowing routine communications about products, industry trends, industry best practices, etc. Those kind of communications can continue, and so that state agencies and vendors can continue to benefit from, again, the routine back and forth about ideas, trends, and technologies.
And will that require promulgation of rules for clarification of that?
We don't yet know how the Executive Commission is going to rule. I know they're in the process of putting together some rules, but the I think the intent of this bill was to send some direction that, again, routine, useful communications between vendors and agencies still can occur.
And directors.
Yes.
But that goes into effect the 1st of July. They didn't delay the effective date of that provision?
Correct. The effective date of the reporting was pushed back explicitly to.
So I think probably at our next meeting it would be helpful just to run through these. What's going to happen the 1st of July that we all have to pay attention to? Just a speculative thought would be that CMS might not have that all nailed down. We may not have the regulations by then, but just to give us some sense of what it is that we should be mindful of going forward starting the 1st, that would be great.
And you said indirect versus direct, which would be something like the MBE, DBE symposium or consortium that was held a week ago, where a lot of these vendors were here and there was a lot of discussion with folks. That, I assume, is still something, is if it's conducted by the agency, is fine.
We need to look at that, but one of the amendments of the recent bill says that communications in a public forum are exempt from the reporting requirements.
Yeah, because a member of the contractor said to me, you know, isn't it a shame we're not going to be able to do this in the future?
But that's exactly the kind of thing we need clarification on. It's one thing to do it in a public forum. It's another thing if you and I show up and Director Pradel is it, and then somebody says to us, may I talk to you about something? We just need to know what the limits
are
on the conversation.
You can be at a charity event and somebody knows you're on the board and they want to talk to you about it, and how do you handle that?
So we all just need guidance and assurance on how to conduct ourselves.
You know, the bill is passed the General Assembly. It's yet to be signed by the governor, so that's an important step. And then if there are any rules which are coming. So to get to then, no more questions, I'll get to my four items. The first item seeks your approval for a change in the tollways administrative rules to conform with recent state law changes raising the speed limit for trucks to 65 miles an hour and IDOT's suggestion that passenger car limits on the south extension be raised to 65 miles an hour. So this amendment will allow a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit for all vehicles on the South Extension and on the tollways west of McHenry and Kane counties. These changes are subject to approval by the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules through the rulemaking process. Shall I continue? Or?
Oh, questions, comments?
On what basis does the General Assembly vote? I'd be interested in the state police perspective. Do they take the safety concerns into account?
Well, I believe that engineering can address press more, but I believe that the suggestion to raise the speed limit on 355 was a safety concern that IDOT raised to keep consistency for the traffic flows in that region. So
we did do a speed study before we opened it, and you know, we felt more comfortable. We didn't know at that time what the operating characteristics would be, and signing it for 55 is consistent with how it is north of 55 on 355 is 55. So, it was consistent with everything to the north of it.
This makes it easy to give a ticket. Confused.
Well, and then, you know, so now it's been in operation for a little while, and we have been monitoring it. And IDOT did bring it to our attention and say, you know, you guys should look at this because, you know, south, where we connected to 80, that is 65. And the rural characteristic of that area right now, it lends itself more to a rural type interstate rather than an urban. And we the Traffic and Operations and Safety Committee, it's an interdepartmental committee that exists at the tollway. It has people from all of our departments. It occurs once a month. They review items like this. They made a recommendation to initiate a new speed study. We conducted it, and the conclusions support raising it to 65.
I recall over years ago, discussion that the road is designed for higher speeds.
Yes,
is that correct?
Yes. In excess of the 65.
In excess, right.
And how did the state police feel about this?
Like you said, there was a lot of discussion about it, and from everything that we've been informed, the road can handle it. The traffic volumes are currently at a level that it should maintain the safe condition for the travelers.
I think traveling that stretch frequently, I can tell you, if I try to maintain 55, I'm looking in all directions trying to make sure I'm not going to get hit in the front side or whatever, because the traffic is moving comfortably at 65, and you know, I just don't want to get a ticket.
Well, would you like your ticket now? Or would you like it after the meeting?
I said I travel the speed.
Yeah, okay.
I can assure you.
At his own peril.
I set my cruise control when I drive.
Before anybody gets in any trouble, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Chairman, item two is a proposed resolution of a payment issue with the North Shore Sanitary District, under which the district will pay the tollway about $22,000 for sewer pipe the tollway installed near Lake Cook Road on the Tri-State. The tollway will use approximately $1,500 for video documenting the adequacy of the work and to fund any needed construction-related repairs, but it does not anticipate any such repair work will be necessary.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second. And obviously you're endorsing this. So.
Correct.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Third.
Great. Item three is a proposed settlement of construction claim with Walsh Construction McDonough. They were the contractor and construction manager on the reconstruction of the Grand Trunk Railroad Bridge at the far south end of the tri-state. The reconstructed bridge used an embankment to replace many of the existing spans, a change that produced approximately $6 million in savings for the tollway. However, there's been some uneven pavement caused by settlement of the embankment, and through extensive negotiations, Walsh, McDonough, and the tollway have negotiated a settlement under which Walsh and McDonough will do an asphalt overlay to fix the road. The tollway will pay half the cost of the fix, estimated at $550,000, on a 50-50 basis, and Walsh will pay 100% of any repair costs over the $550,000.
So moved.
Second.
motion is second. Again, your recommendation.
Correct.
All in favor?
Aye. Final item is a proposed settlement under which the tollway will put up its $250,000 self-insured retention as part of a $1 million settlement negotiated by its insurance company to settle the uninsured motorist claim filed by Wayne Pauley, a tollway employee who was critically injured by hit-and-run drivers while working on the tollway system. Again, it's something I'd recommend.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you.
No more items, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Any further for the Finance Committee? With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Adjourn. Thank you.
Great.